The Freeman Report and James Freeman on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome back to the second hour of today's Freeman Report. It is Friday the 12th of April 2024. I'm your host, James Freeman. And if you've just joined me, I've been discussing immigration and EU politics with the director of the Bruges Group, Robert Olds, and the situation in Israel regarding protests in the country against a Supreme Court ruling that has lifted a military call-up exemption for up to 1 million ultra-Orthodox Jews in the country. I had that conversation with our political editor, the fabulous Basil Valentine. Now, if you have just joined me and you missed those discussions, we did cover a lot of ground. I definitely recommend listening back. And you can do that by heading over to tntradio.live and clicking on the episodes button later today. They'll be uploaded in the next couple of hours and you'll be able to find all of my previous shows on there so you can listen or view back at your pleasure. Right, okay, so coming up in the next hour, I'm going to be welcoming back Dr. Kat Linley, the fabulous Dr. Kat Linley, to the Freeman Report. We'll be taking a look at many developments around the world concerning accountability for the damage done by governments implementing COVID policies like lockdown, shutting of schools, and of course, the mandates and the coercion of people to get the experimental jabs. The CDC has come out in the last few days very, very quietly, I might add, and kind of admitting that all of the measures that they put in place, none of them have been effective. So I'll be talking all about that with Kat in a moment. Then in the second part of this hour, I'll be joined by Ed Batowski of Chapwood Investments. We'll be discussing the state of the US economy, including the latest US inflation figures that show inflation is once again increasing month on month. I'll also be asking Ed for an update on the situation with illegal immigration on the southern border. We've seen posts from Texas Governor Greg Abbott in the last couple of days saying that Texas is working around the clock to repel illegal migration. He's put a video of them constructing and extending the border fence in the Texas border there. But does it mean anything? Because now the Biden administration is now flying in hundreds of thousands of illegal migrants into the country. So do border walls really matter if the Biden administration is just going to fly them in? According to Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, the Biden administration has admitted to more than 40 destinations for migrants being flown into the country. As I said, I did speak about this earlier in the week about Florida receiving 320,000 illegal migrants, but news that they're going to be more than 40 destinations means that most states in the US are now potential border states. So, should governments even be allowed to change the demographic of a country so significantly without a mandate from the people? My view is, and I think a lot of people's view is, part of the government's remit is to protect the country's borders. So how is the Biden administration getting away with this? Because let's be clear, this is not a case of people invading the country any longer. This is now a case of the government colluding to make it happen. How is the administration justifying the flying of migrants into the country? And can these people be deported later if Trump gets into office? Stay tuned for all of that in a moment. But I'm going to finish my editorial today with a silly story for a Friday afternoon. I did see it this morning. It's one of those bonkers stories you think, really? But basically, there's new drugs come on the market that will apparently make your dogs live longer. Oxford University dropout, I'm not sure how you pronounce her surname. Doesn't matter who she is, does it? She's an Oxford dropout. She's raised $120 million to fund a new startup that is now close to gaining approval for two treatments that will apparently extend your dog's life by around 7%. Now, the plan is to charge dog owners $40 a month for the treatment. So no wonder she found it easy to raise $120 million from investors if she's going to be charging that much. I bet the investors are rubbing their hands together in anticipation of gullible dog owners paying out $500 a year. Now, the plan is to bring these new drugs to the UK at some point, and so I wonder what people will make of it here. And I wonder if we will see drugs for humans anytime soon. Would you take drugs that would extend your life? I don't think I would. I'm extremely skeptical about messing about with anything to do with our natural processes. But what do you think? Would you take a pill that extended your life, or give a pill to your dog that would extend its life by 7% and pay $500 a month? Anyway, that is one of the stories I saw this morning. I just thought it was absolutely bonkers, so I thought I would pass that on here. If you want to get in touch about any of the topics on the show or to suggest a guest, then email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you want to join the conversation, let me know whether you would take a pill to extend your life, then head over to tntradio.live and click on that chat icon. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk TNT.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, Gemma, we're nearly there. It's nearly gin and tonic time. Just another hour left for me and about 10 minutes for you. And I will be in my garden with a big, stiff gin and tonic. Even though I haven't eaten much over the last couple of days, I'm definitely going to have a gin. Not going to let that spoil that. Hello, Gemma Cooper, obviously our UK news correspondent. Hello.
I wonder if your G&T is the equivalent of your pill to extend your life by 7%, you know, because I think that anything that makes you feel good automatically extends your life. You know, as you were talking there, I was thinking, well, positivity, doing things you love, they will naturally extend your lifespan. The whole biochemical reaction that doing things that make you feel good and saying things that make you feel good and having actions that make you feel good, there is a biochemical reaction that it sets up in the human psyche and physiology. It's proven, it's called the honeymoon effect. It does have a good effect. So do it. If that makes you feel good, you do it. I'm going to be out there in the sunshine myself, you know, taking a few layers off and getting my aging body exposed to the sun, but it makes me feel good. So if it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it. You know, as simple as that. I think there's a lot to be said for just following your innate instincts with this. Kids do, and look how well they get on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, things like getting a good night's sleep and also not exposing yourself to lots of a really stressful job or life or whatever. Those two things for me, I believe, and I think there's a lot of people who agree with me, I believe they're more important for having a long, healthy life than even exercising and perhaps to some extent what you eat. Although obviously if you put real crap in your body, that's not going to do you any good. But, you know, getting a good night's sleep and not having a stressful existence, really, really important. Really, really important.
Really, I couldn't agree more. Actually, on a Friday, and I mean, we do try to bring a positive note to our proceedings on a Friday. I try to do that with all the shows I'm on here on TNT, the entire UK output, which for me started hours ago with Sonia Poulton on 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. UK time on the UK TNT breakfast show. But it is so important, and I think we are so well conditioned to going towards the negative in everything in our lives because it creates a sense of meaning and drama. But that's an inversion. The actual power is to go towards the pleasure, go towards what makes you feel good in moderation, but everything in moderation, yep. Including moderation.
Well, maybe not on a Friday night. I've actually got this evening, I've got Johnny Vedmore coming over. So I think there won't be much moderation flying about the Freeman household this evening. But anyway, Gemma, what news headlines have you got for us?
Well, this is an interesting story because the top story I'm bringing is because one I've been following for a while now, but I haven't brought to the table here on TNT because it looked like very much a smear campaign as we're heading into election months and campaigning ahead once the recess of Easter is over for the UK Parliament. But it's to do with the Deputy Labour leader, Angela Rayner. Police today have confirmed that they have launched an investigation over information she may have given relating to the sale of a property years ago, and whether she paid the right amount of tax, whether it was her principal residence. This is a story that's been bumbling and boiling around in the mainstream media in the UK. It's not of much interest to those outside of the UK, except now the police have confirmed they're investigating. Did she pay the right amount of tax? Did she commit a criminal offence by selling the property and saying it was her principal residence when actually it wasn't? A Tory MP has now effectively said he's got evidence from neighbours to suggest she hasn't been telling the whole truth. So the police, Greater Manchester Police, have said they will investigate. Now, the Labour leader, her boss, Keir Starmer, has said he's got every confidence the police investigation will draw a line under this. And Sadiq Khan has come out in her support. Angela Rayner, Deputy Labour leader. He says she's one of his best friends, Sadiq Khan has said, and he's confident that this police investigation will come to nothing. But it's a story that I thought would go away, and it hasn't. So that's the top story I'm bringing at the moment. Second story, staying with Labour, just for a second, is that a poll, and I know we're a bit sceptical about polls, James, here on TNT and on the Freeman Report, but it has been warning the Labour Party that although it thinks it will win the next election, it will lose a lot of urban seats due to the party's stance on Gaza. It says that will cost a lot of Muslim votes and a lot of votes from young people moving forward. So it might not quite be the Labour landslide that everybody seems to be predicting. And the Bank of England, they're in the news at the moment, that have serious failings within its forecasting system that needs to be overhauled or completely remodernised. And that's according to a review by the former head of the US Central Bank. He says that these systems are outdated and the Bank of England, and they need to be replaced. So that's just some of the stories at the top of this hour, James.
Yeah, I mean, I'll second that on the Bank of England. You know, when I was at the ONS, I used to go to the bank meetings, every now and again, once a quarter. I've even been to a pre-MPC meeting with the governor. And they literally have a little sign on the table saying the governor. Yeah, they're terrible. Their forecasting is awful. They spent years saying that, trying to forecast that interest rates were going to rise, and every year. So you if you look at all the forecasts, it's literally just tails like this going up. Awful. But the story I'm going to talk about actually is on this Angela Rayner. So, Gemma, it's a weird one, this, because I thought that this would be a case for HMRC, the taxman, not the policeman. But it seems, I was reading this morning, and it's actually electoral law that she's broken, isn't it? It's not just the fact that they're doing the taxman's job for him. She's actually broken, potentially, allegedly, election law.
Well, that's the issue. Has she? So this is what the Labour Party is saying. She hasn't, that she was honest, and this will draw a line under investigation. So it's all to do with, you know, when you register to vote, you go on the electoral roll here in the UK, same as in other countries. You go on the electoral roll, and it's whether or not the property you are living at is your principal residence. Now, that's under scrutiny here, and that's why Greater Manchester Police are now getting involved. It's because of information given by a Conservative MP, though, so an opposition MP, who says that he's had information from former neighbours of Angela Rayner, who said that she definitely was living there, allegedly. Was she or wasn't she? It's a bit like, oh, my neighbour's cat once removed the milkman's cousin, you know, that kind of thing. The police will investigate now. And so because there's a police investigation now been opened, we have to be mindful of that and be careful what we say. Whether or not she is guilty of this is the issue. We don't know. But it is a criminal offence in the UK to say, oh, I live here. This is my address where I'm registered to vote, vote in local elections, vote in general elections. If that's not the case and you're actually living somewhere else, yes, you have broken the law. Whether she has, yeah, needs to be seen.
And I think also for me, this story is highlighted once again, because Labour doesn't really come under a lot of scrutiny because the Tories are doing so many much stuff that's really bad that I think a lot of the focus is always on them. But, you know, they get a little bit of scrutiny on them and they really do show the lack of political nous that they've got. I did see a story that was posted, I think it was by Keir Starmer, saying that we're going to go after tax dodgers. Now, this, bearing in mind, this story is was already floating around, and this is kind of the reason why potentially, if she did pretend she was living somewhere where she wasn't, it's because she was basically trying to pay less tax. That's the implication here. And so, looking at the comments under Keir Starmer's post was actually hilarious on X, because it was just like, "Well, hang on, there she is. There's your first customer to put away tax dodgers." So yeah. I think the more scrutiny Labour come under, I think they're going to really be highlighted, you know, for the lack of political nous which they've got. I think they'd be getting it far too easy for far too long. Right, Gemma, have a great weekend. Whatever you're going to do, I'm waiting for that gin and tonic, but whatever you're going to do, I hope you have a great weekend and I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, James. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, I'm going to have the fabulous Dr. Kat Lindley with me. She's been on the Freeman Report before. Many of you will have seen her on X and online. She is a fantastic campaigner. She is a freedom fighter. And she's also a doctor as well, a family physician. So I'll be joined by Kat after this short break right here on TNT.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I guess the question has to be, who's right, who's wrong? And if you believe, as I do, that you'll never wipe out Hamas, and when you consider the fact that many Hamas soldiers would have been moving very quickly after the terror attacks of October 7 and displaced in areas around the Middle East and maybe even beyond all of that, if there is no hope of eradicating Hamas, what is the negative to launching a ceasefire? We keep hearing that, Hamas will gain an advantage because the ceasefire will be called. But this is on the presumption that you can wipe out Hamas, and I don't think you can. I said that at the very beginning. Is it achievable? Maybe not.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Now, there's a lot going on around the world at the moment in terms of the repercussions for what governments did. There is accountability going on. We've seen the CDC this week quietly admitting that all of the COVID policies that were used during the pandemic, none of them stopped the spread of COVID, which is really, really important given that we've got that WHO treaty that they're trying to push through. So lots to discuss, I think, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Dr. Kat Lindley to discuss it all. Hello, Kat. How are you doing?
Hi, James. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, welcome back to the Freeman Report. Kat, we'll talk about that case with the CDC in a moment and all the other court cases in Florida, etc. I'd love to get an update from you on where you think we are now, particularly in America, with the fallout from what happened over the past 4 years. But first of all, I'm going to ask you about RFK. How is he doing at the moment in the election?
From what I understand, he is gaining some ground and getting on the ballot. I think there is a mixed feelings regarding his running mate because she's kind of unknown and she has ties. I believe she was married to a person who invented Google or something along those lines. I don't know. But, you know, I think he's trying to get her in front of people to understand who she is and see what the messaging will be.
Okay. And, you know, it's only an indication at the moment who, because I think, look, let's be, I guess you've got to be realistic. It's unlikely, very, very unlikely that RFK will actually get voted in. So I think his impact on the election still could be big, but it'll be more who he takes votes from rather than actually getting elected himself. Who do you think he will damage the most in terms of votes?
I think initially before his running mate, I thought that he might take votes from Trump because of the medical freedom people that seem to like him. But I think now with the candidate that he has, he actually might take votes from Biden, which is fine. I'm concerned it's good. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see. I think we need really, truly debates. We need to get all of their positions on various things. And we need to understand kind of where they're placed. One thing I can tell you, this country needs 180-degree turn, because the road we're on is just like every morning I wake up, I'll read something, and it scares me to death. So,
yeah, it's bizarre where America is right now. I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but you know, learning that the Biden administration now, in order to solve the immigration problems at the border, it's actually just going to fly them in, which I literally, it's just shocking, because you know the government's job is to protect the borders, not to just people in. Yeah,
I know, and I know you get this because you were in the European Union. I keep on telling people to watch European Union. You know, they're a microcosm of what's happening on the global level. You know, they have opened their borders. There's no border when you go like from Croatia to Italy anymore. And I hate that, because I love, you know, passing through the border, giving my passport, getting the stamp. And I think it's actually something that we need to do. We need to be proud of our countries. And then, you know, EU with their open border policies, with their immigration issues. Now you're having lots of countries, including Sweden, push back on the immigration policies that they had. And they said no more. In the meantime, not only are we getting people across the border who need assistance and help and stuff like that, but we're getting a lot of, you know, trafficking of the minors, and a lot of people who are actually on terrorist lists. We're just letting them in. And then they say, oh, we need to raise the terrorist alert. Well, no kidding. You have to raise the terrorist alert.
Yeah, it is very concerning. And like you said, I think we need a 180 degree turn in terms of the direction for America. Kat, that wasn't why I got you on to talk about immigration. Tell us, because obviously you follow this very, very closely. Obviously, you talk a lot about on X about what's going on in terms of accountability in some of the court cases and the government sort of institutions like the CDC. What, if you had to sum it all up at the moment in America, I'm talking about, where would you say we are? Are we winning that battle? Because it does take time, doesn't it, to push back against what has happened?
We're winning the information battle, because people are realizing that policies have failed. They damage their children's education, their mental being, our elderly's mental being. We're winning when it comes to the vaccines. People are not getting the boosters. They realize that the illness itself is very mild right now, and the vaccines themselves are having some major issues. So we're winning on messaging, but not on accountability. You know, there are some cases. There is the case, you know, the Missouri versus Biden, when it comes to censorship that government did on scientists and journalists and others. So that was a good case. We have won on mandates, except for healthcare worker mandates. That one is still in place, but the hospitals themselves are not requiring. There are a few, but mostly they're not requiring some of these things. But I would say there's no accountability. There is a hearing this Tuesday. One of the committees in Congress is going to have a hearing on COVID measures and failed policies and how it affected our constitution in particular. Dr. Ladapo will be one of the witnesses, and I'm not sure who the others are. So that's good, but like sometimes I watch these hearings and I'm like, they talk to hear themselves talk, to prove a point, but nothing happens. And I think that's where people are frustrated. Nothing has happened. We know that CDC failed. They abandoned their duty. The same thing with FDA. They had to remove that tweet on ivermectin, but nothing happened. NIH, Fauci, everything. You know, I was just listening to Rand Paul. Rand Paul said privately, he said masks don't work. Privately, he said that immunity is essential. But then publicly, he wore three masks and kept on saying that natural immunity doesn't exist. Nothing is happening to these people, and we all are frustrated.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Because I think in the past, not that distant a future, if politicians were shown to have done something which ended up actually being damaged, they would have to stand down, wouldn't they? But we don't seem to be seeing that these days. There is no accountability. And, you know, people can say, well, OK, well, let's wait for election time. But the choices we've got at the moment, I mean, in the UK, for example, we've got, you know, two main political parties that cheered each other on. The Labour Party that weren't in power were always calling for more lockdown, more of the pushing of the vaccines and stuff. So it's really, 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 really challenging, isn't it? Now, the CDC, I think, has come out in the last few days and actually admitted that all of the COVID policies, whether that's lockdown, shutting schools, masks, all of that, plus the vaccines themselves, none of them stopped the spread of COVID, which was obviously the justification for taking away our freedoms and rights. Do you think, I mean, it's happened with no, there's no fanfare around this cap, but do you think this is going to be debated by politicians who are now deciding whether to vote through this pandemic accord treaty?
I have no confidence. I have to tell you, there are few good politicians that I know and that I've worked with and still working, and they're good people trying to do something good in the swamp. But I have no confidence, because when you listen to the committee hearings, and I've listened to plenty, they talk. They say, oh, I can't believe you did this, and how could you do that? And then they like give you a 3-minute spiel that like they use later on in their raising money for their campaign, but there is no consequences. Nothing will happen to the government witnesses. For example, there was a hearing on WHO several months ago, and there were three different administrators from the government that came to testify. And someone asked them about like national sovereignty, a couple of questions that should have been asked. And they said, oh no, the pandemic treaty is not going to affect the national sovereignty. We're going to be so nice and hold hands and, you know, all that whatever nonsense. No one followed up. No one said, well, it says here you will. No, you did this and now you're going to try to do it. No one does. They just do like this superficial overview to tell us we're doing our job. But they're not. They're really failing at their job. And when it comes to elections, it's like the only way to get out of this. But if you did a survey on American citizen, I would say that the survey would tell you that most of us don't know if our vote will count at the end.
Mm. Yeah. Kat, I don't want to get, this is all very depressing, isn't it? Because, you know, there's more, we've been working, and I know you have been working very, very hard over the last few years to wake people up, and we've been successful in that. Lots more people are waking up, but they're waking up to the reality that, well, it doesn't matter anyway. It's almost like, you know, can you please put me back to sleep? Because there's nothing we can do about it. It is very disappointing at the moment. You know, I think the challenge is for us just to keep on going, because I think justice will be done and accountability will happen, but we just need to keep on going. Right, Kat, we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about, there's a new study that's come out, and this ties up with things that I've talked about on the Freeman Report with Professor Angus Dogleish. He's talked about these turbo cancers and the fact that the mRNA vaccines are basically pushing and bringing alive existing cancers. So we end up with turbo cancers. But there's actually now a study in the International Journal of Biological Macromolecules that has found that the mRNA vaccine aids cancer because they suppress immunity. So I'd like to talk about that and any evidence you're seeing in the US, I guess, of increased cancer rates, because we are seeing them in the UK in young people that shouldn't be getting cancer. Suddenly now rates are going up. So we'll talk all about that after this short break right here on TNT.
I got a news flash for you.
Newsflash!
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The Australian Labor government, under Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, plans to introduce direct economic interventions to foster local manufacturing and develop sovereign green energy supply chains in Australia. Three sons of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh were killed in an Israeli airstrike in the Gaza Strip, as confirmed by both the Palestinian group and Haniyeh's family. The Israeli military, acknowledging the strike, identified the three as members of Hamas's armed wing.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Right, Kat. So, as I said, I had Professor Angus Dogleish on the Freeman Report just in the last couple of weeks. He talked about the fact that we're seeing these increased rates, and it's because, in part, because cancer rates have been going up for a long time in young people, but we've seen that accelerate in the last 2 years since the advent of the mRNA injections. What are you seeing in the US?
We're seeing the same things. We're seeing cancers in younger population. We're seeing people who have been in remission for a very, very long time all of a sudden develop, you know, metastatic cancers, late stages. And, you know, whether you want to call them turbo cancers or not, it's very, very concerning, because the unifying factor seems to be that they all had mRNA vaccines.
Yeah, and are politicians talking about this? Is it on the radar in any of the news stations in America?
Yes, so Pierre Corey and Mary Beth Pfeiffer, I believe, they had a couple of op-eds published in, you know, kind of MSM type of newspapers. So there is definitely a talk, and there is more talk within the medical community, which is always good, because we're the ones that have to discuss these things and we need to bring them to light. I believe even the Cancer Society has, you know, they didn't necessarily put a direct link to the mRNA vaccine, but they have spoken about the fact that we have increased cancer rates in population that we shouldn't. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene had a hearing maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago with Dr. Ryan Cole, and I believe Peter McCullough was there as well, and they discussed it in the hearing. We do have several, you know, celebrities or known people and politicians who have discussed the fact that they have these diagnoses. So people are getting more and more aware, and it was really good to see the article in that journal who actually discussed it directly. You know, it put a direct link between pseudouridine and the mRNA development, which is, between the mRNA in, pseudouridine in mRNA and the development of cancers. So that's really important to now see it in these major journals, and it hasn't been retracted yet.
Yeah, and of course, I think, I'm not going to even pretend to understand all of the detailed science, but essentially, I think the takeaway from that study in the International Journal of Biological Macromolecules is that the reason cancers are able to sort of grow after people have had the mRNA, I'm getting my too many technical things to talk about after the injections is because actually these mRNA injections suppress your immunity. And of course, you know, your immune system is constantly fighting off potential cancers in your body. And the fact that these injections suppress that is the reason that we're seeing dormant cancers, or maybe cancers that might have appeared, you know, later in life when you're 70, 80. They're suddenly coming through at a much younger age because your immune system has been compromised. Very, very worrying indeed. And Kat, of course, the big picture, if you zoom out to all of this, is that the WHO want to get legal powers over countries so that they could potentially mandate this stuff. They can mandate lockdowns, masks, but also medicines as well, and which medicines will be mandated. Very, very concerning indeed. What would you say to people? What can people do about this, Kat? What can they do to fight back?
Yeah, most of the countries have started doing something, and there is leadership, you know, even in UK with Sir Christopher Chope and our friend Andrew Bridgen, who's been very vocal on this. And there are a lot of MPs getting on board, are understanding that, you know, World Health Organization wants to keep us in this perpetual state of pandemic. And once they do, like you said, they can decide that we need to close the borders, you know, give us new vaccines. And they talk about this endless vaccine production within 100 days, right? And you know there's going to be mRNA platform because that's the only platform that can give you vaccines in such a short amount of time. But no one has addressed this fact that, for example, World Health Organization has failed at its job. They have VG Access, I believe, is World Health Organization. And they have over 5 million and something adverse events and even reports of death. But they haven't said there is an issue with this platform, let's suspend it. They haven't. They keep on talking about how we need to produce more and we need to be more equitable and share the information and all that. So I think it's really important for all the countries to keep on doing what they're doing. You guys in UK have your call to referendum. That's important. People need to vote on this. For us, United States, our states are fighting back. We have a state like Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, New Hampshire has tried. Many states are trying to push back because we have 10th Amendment, which says that the issues of healthcare come back to the state. So I think each country needs to figure out their own way to get out of this mess.
Yes, and of course in Ireland as well, aren't we? We've got that Crotty versus Taoiseach ruling from 1987, yes, which might mean that the Irish people have a referendum, and that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Because that would really then all of this information, which at the moment governments are kind of saying, nothing to see here, nothing to see here, don't worry, we're not going to give away sovereignty. That will be blown out of the water if this gets debated in a high court in Ireland. So let's hope that happens. Kat, thank you so much for coming back on the Freeman Report. Please do come back soon. Dr. Kat Lindley, the fabulous Dr. Kat Lindley, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Right. OK, we're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, I am going to have Ed Potowski of Chatwood Investments. We're going to be talking all about the American economy. We'll be talking about immigration again. I want to get his view on what he thinks about Biden administration flying migrants directly into the country now instead of letting them queue up at the border. They're just flying them in. So we're going to be talking about all of that in just a moment right here on TNT.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
LaToya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Internet crimes against children in New Mexico are real. And when it comes to protecting your children, the New Mexico AG's office and the ICAC unit are on the front lines. I'm New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas. There's nowhere to hide for online predators in New Mexico. We are working tirelessly using state-of-the-art technology and resources to seek out and find them wherever they are. Please talk to your children about the dangers that exist online, social media, games, and messenger apps. It's always important to know who you're talking to.
Help fight online predators in New Mexico by submitting a tip today.
This is the Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, okay, we're going to stay on that topic of immigration, illegal immigration. Obviously, we've spoken earlier in the show about in Europe the problems we're seeing with illegal immigration, but we're going to stay with that. But in the US now, I'm also going to be talking about the American economy. Both of these topics, I think, at the moment are going to be the two biggest factors in the upcoming presidential elections. Obviously, there's a lot of mileage between now and then, so things could change. But at the moment, it looks like immigration and the economy are going to be the two big topics for this year's elections. So I'm delighted to be welcoming Ed Patulski to debate all of this with me. He is from Chapwood Investments. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the Freeman Report.
Well, thanks for having me, James. I appreciate it. I look forward to this discussion.
Yeah. So, Ed, let's start off on the economy. You know, we found out in the last few days that inflation is once again going up. There seem to be a lot of mixed indicators at the moment in terms of the economy. There's still lots of jobs being created, but that inflation seems a bit sticky. The Fed keep on saying we're nearly ready to cut interest rates. And then, no, we're not going to do it quite yet. And well, we might do it soon. We might not. There's a lot of mixed, I think, indications coming out of the economy. What's your assessment of where things are at the moment?
Well, I'll tell you, you have to take a look at what the M2 number is, and that's the money supply number. And there's a direct relationship to the amount of money that's being printed, put into the economy, and the inflation data. So inflation was up and peaked at 9.1%, and now it's down to 3%. So it's also important to remember that if something went from a dollar, you know, if you bought something at a dollar and inflation went to 9%, that means that price of that item went from a dollar to $1.09. Now, when it went down to 3, that doesn't mean the price of that item is down to 3 cents or $1.03. That means that the rate of change has slowed. So there's really two things that are impacting inflation right now. It's the printing of money and it's oil prices. And I do not believe that we're ever going to get down to that 2% number with the policies that we have in place right now.
Right. Okay. That's really interesting. What do you think the administration needs to do? I mean, obviously, I guess it can stop printing money. But at the moment, the US economy, the national debt is growing by $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you think it's, you know, and obviously, if Trump gets in this year, he's going to change policy, no doubt. Do you think it's possible to get down to that 2% at the moment?
Well, I'll tell you what's really going to impact Trump if he gets in is going to be the drilling for oil in the United States. That's going to be the number one thing, because Trump was not a better, less of a spender than Biden has been. It's been both sides of the aisle that has done this for many, many years. So you can't just put it, you know, typically you put it on the Democrats as the heavy spenders, but the Republicans have been just as bad, even going back to George Bush. So I do not believe that the spending of money is going to be part of the solution here. I think it's going to be drilling for oil, because that is something that goes through the economy very, very slowly, the rise of oil prices, and it also comes down very, very slowly. So I think that that's really the main driver right now of inflation is oil prices and obviously the money supply.
Right. Okay. Yes. Of course. I'd forgotten about the whole oil thing. Where is that oil exploration going to come from? Is that from fracking, or has the do you expect Trump to look elsewhere?
Well, it's going to come from drilling in the United States, and what technique they use, is anybody's guess. But fracking is definitely a really big, thing that has increased the amount of production for years. I live in the state of Texas, and there's lots of people here who are doing drilling programs that are using fracking on private land. But a lot of people also are hesitant to go after the leases that the Biden administration says that are available because they never know when they're going to get shut down. And also the heavy regulation on top of that. So regulation is also a real problem. There's never going to be a difference that dramatic between Biden's administration and a new Trump administration. You're going to see a huge difference in how they approach things. And, you know, the economy, I think, is going to favor a Trump way of doing things versus Biden.
And how, I guess, the bigger picture question then is, and if this has been going on for years across both the Republicans and the Democrats, is how sustainable is this? I mean, $1 trillion every 100 days, that's a hell of a lot of money to be adding to the national debt. And of course, now we've got the BRICS countries, which are talking about using currencies other than the dollar for the trading of international of commodities internationally. How sustainable is the current level of spending in the US and money generation?
Well, I'll tell you, if you use Japan as a marker, Japan has done it for many, many years. They have 300% debt to their GDP, and that economy continues to grow, or at least it's starting to grow. And that's why a lot of people are getting behind the yen right now. So, you know, we're in uncharted territory at this point, and it's only anybody's guess. But, you know, you also have to look at the world economy as a huge cruise ship, and it takes a lot to move that cruise ship. It'll move very, very slowly, but once it moves, it'll stay in that direction for quite some time. So you really have to, you know, again, uncharted territory is exactly where we're at, and nobody can tell you exactly what's going to happen. In respect to the currency, the U.S. being the currency for trade, you know, every 75 to 100 years, that currency changes. So, you know, the United States could very well be, you know, in the crosshairs of that changing. I do not know if the BRICS, you know, which currency would you use? You know, Brazil? I don't think so. Russia? No. India? No. Trying to think about China. Well, and China is a communist country.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to float their currency. I think that's clear at the moment. But there is rumors, and I don't know how much flesh there are on these rumors, that they might create a new currency backed by gold, for example, which would potentially change things. Now, Ed, given all of what we've just discussed here, the problems with inflation and the economy, do you think in the run-up to the elections, we're going to see the economy in a good health? I've had a lot of people on here from the US over the past couple of weeks who've said that they actually expect there's an imminent crash coming. What are your thoughts? How do you think the economy will fare this year?
Yeah, and people have to understand that there's a difference between the U.S. economy and the U.S. stock market. They're two very different things. So the economy can be strong and you can have overpriced stocks. And the stock market is overpriced based on the Magnificent Seven right now. But there's no indication that you're going to see a stock market crash. Those are people out there just trying to get headlines and trying to, you know, fear, you know, put fear into people. But you know, you can have a sell-off in the stock market because it's overexpanded, and you have to look at the price-earnings multiple of the stock market versus the growth rate. But if the U.S. economy, which is, you know, kind of moving along, you know, in a respectable level, it's not anywhere close to where it should be in terms of jobs growth. You had mentioned earlier that there's a lot of jobs growth. But these are part-time jobs and they're service jobs. And these, you know, if you think about why we need jobs for tax revenue. So if you were to take an average person who makes $50,000 a year and tax them at 25%, that would be $12,500 of new tax revenue. All you have to do is multiply that times whatever number to figure out what number you need to reduce the debt on this country, and it's exorbitant. We need millions of new jobs, but that's exactly why we need new jobs. That kind of gets a little wonky there, but I do want to point out that with the immigration and the borders, one of the issues is that we talk about, you know, people coming across who are going to create terror in this country, but we also have to remember that it costs a lot of money. So we have to print more money that is becomes inflationary to anybody in this country. So if you own US dollars, your US dollars are becoming worth less because we're printing money to pay for these immigrants. And that's an avenue that nobody ever talks about, but that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And actually, my next question was going to be on that topic, actually, because a lot of analysts I was looking today are actually saying that America needs this immigration to create new jobs, to do the jobs that maybe Americans don't want to do anymore. Do you think there's anything in that at all?
Well, I'll tell you, if you take my home as an example, we have people who are from Mexico who I believe are legal, work for a company that does our lawn, and they're all from Mexico. And we have a housekeeper who's from Mexico. So I don't know if other people would take those jobs, but I'm happy that they're here. I'm happy they're doing our lawn and cleaning my shirts and so on. But I don't know if others would take those jobs. There's a lot of people who would love to wait for government handouts. So I really don't know.
Yeah. And because I think all of the debate at the moment is the fact that a lot of the people coming into the country are undocumented, right? They're coming across the border. Nobody knows who they are. Some of them are coming from countries which are not particularly friendly with the US. How much of that debate is just focused on that versus the actual benefit of bringing people into the American economy?
Well, I think I live in a very conservative state, and I think that people want people to do things the right way. They want law and order. And if the law is that you have to come in through a process, that's what they want. And a lot of my friends who are from Mexico, who are here legally, support that. They don't want people just coming across, you know, aimlessly or, you know, illegally across the border. They want people to follow the rules just like they did. So I do believe that there is a real, you know, pushback on that, and then there should be.
So bearing that in mind, what do people make about the fact that the Biden administration now is apparently going to fly hundreds of thousands of these undocumented people into states? We've heard senators talking about the fact that the administration has admitted that it's identified 40 destinations across the US where it's going to send these people to, Florida being one of them. I think they're going to take over 320,000 people to be processed. What do voters make of this?
They think it's outrageous. I mean, it's absolutely against the law. Where there's a legal way to do this. And if the government's flying them in, they're just trying to load up as many people in this country as possible. And it's not just for jobs. That's kind of a sideshow. It's really to get votes. And that's really what they're doing. And now there's a bill that I believe is being put in front of Congress to have the illegal documented people, if I said that correctly, you know, be able to vote in elections. And that's what this has been about from the beginning.
That's proper crazy. I mean, do you think that we're going to be seeing people that have been coming in over the past few years? Are they going to be voting in this year's election, do you think?
Well, you have people in certain cities where they voted to allow them to vote. I think New York City allows illegal immigrants to vote. So it's only a matter of time before that spreads to, you know, the federal level, depending on whoever wins the White House and whoever wins Congress. But there's definitely a push towards that. So think about this. You're going to bring in people, you're going to fly them in from other countries, put them here, spend money that we don't have, and try to get them to be able to vote in the next election. And it might not be 2024, but it'll be 2028's election for sure. What a messed up system.
It certainly is, isn't it? Particularly, you know, the fact that the Biden administration has identified 40 destinations across the US. I'm assuming if what you're saying is correct there, that they've identified them because these are states where they want to either get more electoral college votes or they want more voters on the ground in those places. This is really, really crazy stuff we're seeing in America at the moment. Do you think that, though, that I mean, I started off this conversation by saying the economy and I think immigration are going to be the two biggest issues for Americans this year. Would you agree with that?
Without question. The economy is absolutely going to be front and center. And as long as the Republicans continue to push the immigration issue, you know, the Biden administration is trying to say somehow that it's Trump's fault, which doesn't make any sense. And also trying to put the inflation on Trump, which doesn't make any sense. Inflation was at 1.4% when Biden took over, and then it went to 9%. And it, Trump had nothing to do with that. So you also have a press that the media continues to go along with all of this nonsense, and they don't really challenge it, and they don't take a stand and say, look, this is preposterous what the Biden administration is saying. You know, you had secure border at one point when Trump was in office.
Yeah. And Ed, I'm going to ask you final question. We've only got less than a minute left. I do ask most people I get on from the US this question. I've only had one person say that they didn't think Biden was going to be on the ticket, because, of course, we've got the Democratic National Convention in August. They have got the option of taking him off and putting someone else on. Do you think Biden will be the candidate for the Democrats come the end of August?
I do. I believe that Biden will be there, and they'll prop him up and try to put it over on the United States again.
Yeah, Ed, well, listen, I wish you all the best. I wish America the best, because it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction at the moment. Really does need a change of direction. But Ed Botoski, everyone, thank you very much. Ed, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, okay, so that's it from me. I'm going to go into the garden in the sun and get a gin and tonic. But I'll be back on Monday. And of course, we've got more great shows for you this afternoon. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us right here on TNT.